Well, I entitled this, "We Came to Worship." Now, for each and every one of us, "We Came to Worship" could be a totally different thing. And when we think of Sunday morning, I'm sure it's different for everybody in the room. I come and wait for the service to start, and then I get to take that breath that I've made it. I'm here. It's time. For me, that's a good feeling, because that means I am right where God wants me to be to do what He wants me to do. But that's not how it is for everybody. Some of us come to church simply so we can make a check mark on our good Christian card, so at the end of the month we can turn it in for that valuable little sequin in our crown. Right? No, it really doesn't work that way, does it? That's not what worship is all about. It's not something that we check off. And it isn't something that has to happen just on Sunday morning. But it has to happen on Sunday morning. If we're going to come here, we might as well do what we came to do, and that's worship God, not worship ourselves. Make sure that everything we do today actually makes God happy to call us children. Now, God loves each and every one of us, and I'm sure, as especially mothers, fathers, grandparents, so on and so forth, we all understand this idea of loving someone when they're doing exactly what we wish they weren't. Or loving someone that's doing the exact opposite of what you ask them to do. We understand God's dilemma between what He would like to see and who we are. And quite honestly, I believe in most churches in America, God cries. Because it has become something that it was never meant to be. It has become something that is more of a religious tradition than it is worship. We have missed the idea of what real worship really is. And so this morning, I would like to just wander through a few verses to try to get an idea of what real worship ought to look like or not like. And trust me, worship is not coming to church and sitting in a pew and singing three songs, doing a prayer, taking an offering, listening to a sermon and going, "Oh, that's not worship." Has nothing to do with that. Worship is something that comes out of here. All those things ought to make it better, but that's not worship. That's what we do to help ourselves to worship. Most of us don't take enough time when we get ready to come to church to really be ready to worship. You know, we've fought with the wife all the way. We've slapped a few kids, or we hit our brakes real hard so they slammed into the back seat and woke them up and got them straightened out a little bit. No, you guys really don't do that, right? How many of you hit the back seat today? You hit the back seat today? Where was she driving? But anyway, the whole point here is, we should take a little time, maybe while we're dressing, maybe before we're dressing, maybe after we're dressing, to stop and make sure that we are riding with God, that we have started the process, Because worship starts at home. It culminates here. Or should. But each one of us are going to worship different than the person beside us. No matter who you are. That's why it's called worship. Otherwise, it'd just be something I'd take a test at and you'd leave it at the door on your way out. That'd be school, right? Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Now that worship has nothing to do with this morning, does it? That worship in and of itself is all about you and God and how you conduct yourself. What you're willing to actually give up for God. One of the most important things I ever heard from anyone, I heard on the radio, headed for work when I didn't have time to be listening to the radio. And it all ended up about prayer. It all was about what it meant to actually pray. Prayer is part of our worship, right? But prayer is our daily worship to God. But see, here is where we kind of get off track. We pray for what we want most of the time. And we pray for answers and ask God to answer our prayers. And then you do what our kids have always done. Went and do your own thing. Or if you're like me and the radio announcer, we just ask God again because surely what I heard Him say for me to do is not what He really wanted, because that's not what I wanted to do. See, too many times when we ought to be worshiping God out there during our windshield time or that few moments of quiet time between classes. There's no quiet time between classes, right? That doesn't happen. But you understand what I'm saying. When God's really speaking to you, are we really listening? Are we willing to give up or sacrifice what we want to do? That's worship. Christ died on a cross for our sins, and He was worshiping God. He was giving of Himself for others. He was doing what God asked Him to do perfectly. Without argument. The Bible says, like a lamb to slaughter. Is that how we listen to God? Is that how we really want to worship God? See, worship has a whole lot of ideas. Luke 4:8 says, Jesus answered, "It is written, worship your God and serve Him only." Is that our only worship? Is everything we do all day worshiping God? When we're chewing out that person that just cut us off at the four-way, are we still worshiping God? When you run into that poor, defenseless, dead deer in the middle of the road, are you still worshiping God? Or when you take your batteries into the local parts store and find out they're all just a shot. They're still worshiping God. See, worshiping God has more to do than just Sunday morning. Not that that isn't important, because I think it's the most important part of our day. I think it's the most important part of our week. And if we're not doing it, we're missing out. And the reason I think we're missing out is because that is where we get fed. That's where we get fed. Not just from what I have to say on Sunday morning, but from one another. When we have good, like this morning, sharing time probably does more good than what I have to say most of the time. Because it's from the heart, it's from real life, it is what God is doing in our lives. I can't think of any better worship. Because that's how worship actually should happen. Glorifying God for what He's done for us. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Worship. We're supposed to help one another. You know, you've all heard this saying that there are no Lone Ranger Christians. You know why? Because if you're a Lone Ranger Christian, you're off course. If you're not coming together on a regular basis, you are off course. Because we come here to get recentered. We come here to get help, even if we don't know it. We're going to get that help down the road. We're going to stop and think about what was said back 2 weeks ago or a month ago. And things happening in our lives today are going to be impacted by things that happened before. Because of what somebody said, because of what somebody shared, because of a prayer that was prayed, or maybe just someone helped set us straight. Because see, if you're trying to go through life and be a Christian, a Lone Ranger Christian, if you ever get crossways with the Scripture, if you ever misunderstand it, then that's the direction you will head. And if that direction isn't the straight and narrow way that God expected, before long, you're a long ways away from where God wants you to be. Because this is where you've decided to go. See, that's what God, the Lord, had against the Pharisees. I mean, if you think about the problems the Pharisees had, it wasn't in the fact that they didn't understand the laws that God sent down to Moses. They added to them. They changed them. They changed the direction to help themselves. Now, we'd never do that in our day and age, would we? We would never change our understanding of the Bible to fit our lifestyle. We would never change the Bible and what we believe because of the culture around us. Unless, of course, we were human. See, we all want to do that. We all want to change God's word, His laws, and our understanding to help us. It's not worship that way. There's no sacrifice that way. There's no loving God that way. Because then it becomes your religion, has nothing to do with God. Our religion is not a moral code, but an enriched relationship with God through interaction with other Christians. Let me state that again. Our religion is not a moral code, but an enriched relationship with God through interaction with other Christians. See, worship has to have other people. True worship has to be in a group because that's how God expected it. That's how God taught it. That's why he didn't just bring Moses out of the promised land. No, he sent Moses back to get his people. We aren't supposed to move forward by ourselves. We're supposed to bring people with us. That's an act of worship. Colossians 3:12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave." To truly worship, we have to love one another. We have to forgive one another. We have to forgive that person that bothered us all week. That person that is the sandpaper, I like to say, that rubs off those corners that I tend to have. Those things that smooth me up and make me softer, easier to touch. I didn't used to be that way. I used to be really hard to get along with because I was sure that it was my way, and if you didn't like my way, there was a highway and you could use that. That was my whole thought process on life. And even when I first became a Christian, I held on to that view. If you didn't like the way I read my Bible, then don't bother me. I was real close to being a Lone Ranger Christian in a group. But see, even God allows me to change. Even God allows you to change. Because God puts those people around us that forces us to allow that kind of change. To rub off those sharp corners. To smooth out the lines. To help us to get along easier and better. Because that's worship. Oh, I love Sunday morning. I love to hear, just like singing Let It Be. That's one of my favorite songs. And I never heard it until about 10 years ago, to be honest with you. The first time I ever actually heard that song, I was in J-Term in Indianapolis for the first time. And I realized that's what I want. But we have to allow it. We have to let it be. It's not that we want it or we're going to make it. We have to get down off our pedestal and let it be. Let God do in us what He wants to. And quit trying to make this our religion. And make it God's love, God's understanding. Because that is what worship is all about. And as a church, we believe that worship is important. We believe that you should be here on a regular basis. We believe that we get rejuvenated right here on Sunday morning so we can make it another week. That's what worship ought to be. We should leave here with joy in our hearts And if we can't, then maybe we do need to go back to kneeling in front of this altar. If we can't, maybe we need to stop and pray for a little forgiveness for those things that we put between us and God, those things that we expect to happen. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for walking with us. We thank you for opening up our hearts and minds to your word. We thank you for allowing us this time to come before you and open our hearts to you, knowing that you are willing to accept us where we're at, but expect us to change. Expect us to repent. Respect us. Expect us to turn around and do what you'd have us to do, to turn from ourselves and look only unto you. And so this morning, Lord, we just ask that your mighty hand be upon us, that you help us become those kind of Christians that we might better serve you. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen.